And this is the Age Group Multisport Podcast with me, Richard Conway. This is a platform for age group multisport athletes to showcase their journeys. Hey, welcome back to the Age Group Multisport Podcast. Thank you for taking your time out to give us a listen. Much appreciated. Busy lives and all that. Hope you've enjoyed the recent podcasts and I hope you enjoy this one. If you do, please leave us a review and a rating wherever you listen to it. And that does help us get our name out to more like-minded people. And also if you're in a group, a club, just spread the word, please. And if you've got anybody in your group or your club that is an age grouper and would like to come on the show and share their story and inspire others, more importantly, we would be delighted to hear from them. And on this episode, we speak to Matty Earls. And I first come across Matty because he was on Facebook and he created a Facebook page called the UK Triathlon Community. Don't know if any of you follow him or have heard of it. And basically, it's a group that he started after his age group event group had closed down. And it's for all abilities and for all over the UK. It's a pretty good Facebook page. Also, follow him on Instagram. Both his personal one and his recent released a men's mental health page called Tough to Talk, and we discussed that, and that means a lot to him, and we go into the reasons behind it. So I hope you enjoy this episode. Great story, really nice guy, and that's coming up. And as I'm recording this, it's Monday morning and it's the 5th of June, and sad news yesterday. I was actually watching Ironman Hamburg on YouTube and there was a horrific crash as I was watching it. Actually, it was motorbike city, to be honest. There was motorbikes everywhere on the course, and the next thing you know, they're at the filming the lead group of cyclists. This is the males. And the next thing you know is this cyclist's been catapulted across the road. He's been hit by a motorbike. I guess it was a camera motorbike, and unfortunately there was a fatality and the motorbike rider died. So it's just, and the disappointing thing from my point of view and from a lot of people who've commented on this is that the race went ahead, which, you know, it should have been finished, it should have been stopped. They actually had athletes getting off the bikes, dismounting and walking around the accident scene on their bike course, which is just totally unacceptable. So I'm sure there'll be repercussions after that. I don't really need to say much more, but my sympathies go out to all the families involved, because, you know, we do this for fun and some people do it as a job. And it's, you know, you don't expect to go to work and not come back. So it's just really, really sad, and something needs to be done about it. There was lots going on this weekend. There was the European Triathlon over there in Madrid, and a few of our athletes that have been on the show were racing. Donald Brooks, who's been on, and he won not only the sprint distance, but he also won the standard distance in his age group. The man's a machine. If you haven't heard his podcast that we did with him, I'd suggest you go back and have a listen to that, because a really nice guy and he's just an awesome athlete. So well done, Donald. And Julie Gladstone, who was on a few episodes back, she was racing, the sprint triathlon, which then turned out to be a duathlon because of the water quality, which upset quite a lot of athletes. And she did well. She came fifth in her age group, so well done, Julie. Great to see the pictures and the medals and all the feedback from the event. It looked fantastic. Like I said, shame about the water quality. You couldn't do a triathlon, but there you go. And then watched the Elite Men. Johnny Brownlee was racing and he ended up coming second. So he was quite pleased with that after his recent result he got in the Triathlon World Series, where he was about 36th, I think, and he just couldn't explain it away. So he was glad to be back at the front of the pack. And talking about the World Triathlon Series, it was great to watch. Two brilliant racers from the elites. Georgia Taylor-Brown back to winning ways. She looked back on form, looked her old self, and she took the win for the ladies. And in the men's, it was a two-horse race. And Alex Yee and Hayden Wilde, it became a running race. They'd got out, had a good swim, got out the water with a front pack. Hayden, true to his form, took on the bike. Yee matched him, and then it was a run between the two of them to the line. And Yee just was stronger on the day, and he came out victor. So two British victories there, which is always nice to see. I was racing myself, managed to get to the start line for Darley Moor Duathlon last weekend. And love that track, love that course. Really low-key event, probably one of the cheapest around. And it was a qualifier for the European Championships next year. Three of us racing in the 50s and over categories. Teammates Steve Hunt and Phil Jackson. Mrs. C was supposed to be racing, but after doing the epic Three Peaks the weekend before, she was in bits. But fortunately, she'd already qualified at the week before that at Walton Park. So job done was for her, so she didn't have to put herself through it, which was a very wise decision. But yeah, great event. And it was drafting this year. Last year it was a non-drafting, which made it harder, in my opinion. But the drafting race suits me better. Wasn't sure how it was going to go because of the Achilles issue I've got. And it went not too bad till about 600 metres towards the end. I had a John Armstrong from Grimsby Tri, who we met over in Italy. He pretty much got me round, to be honest. I followed him on the run, and then we worked together on the bike till we got swallowed up by a pack, and then managed to stick with him on the second run up until about 600 metres when my Achilles went again, and I got overtook by about seven athletes. But there you go. That's the way it goes. I was happy with my performance, and just got to get back into rehab now and try and get the Achilles better before I race again. A big well done to fellow teammates, Steve and Phil. Raced really well and hard as usual. And it was great to see our bright tri suits out there on the track and getting lots of comments as usual. So well done. Potentially got a percentage for a roll down. So it's a wait and see. And a good weekend had by all. It's funny how things turn out, isn't it? After having Julie Gadsden on the podcast a few weeks back, she pointed me in the direction of a chap that she was sat next to on an aeroplane going to, I'm not sure whether it was the Europeans or the Worlds. I think it was the World Multisport Championships in Ibiza. A guy called Douglas Wood. And they got talking. And it turns out that Douglas has written a book, and the book's called Renaissance Triathlete, Enjoying Sports as an Older Athlete, Managing Mind and Body. And the foreword's written by Alistair Brownlee. I got in touch with Douglas after Julie recommended to get him on the podcast. He's going to come on in the middle of June. And in the meantime, he said, would I like a copy of his book? And I said, I would love a copy of his book as long as that he signed it. And it arrived in the post last week, and I started it at the weekend, and I'm halfway through it already, and it's a really good read. For anybody getting into middle-aged and beyond, it's a really great read to see how somebody of an older age is dealing with the stresses on the body and the mind of multisport. Really good read. Look out for it. Nice to give somebody some support. In our community, in our tribe. So look out for his book and look out for his podcast coming up. And just a big thank you for Julie for putting us in touch. Been listening to a couple of podcasts as usual, and the first one was How They Train podcast, and they had Javier Gomez on there, which was a really good listen, really interesting guy. And it was interesting to hear his tip for the next Olympic Games. He reckoned that Mario Mola was going to win it. So, yeah, interesting. And the final podcast that I've been listening to is Tri-Dot Podcast. And they had an episode which featured 66 terms in triathlon. And yeah, I haven't finished it yet, but some terms in there that I hadn't even heard of. So yeah, want to get a bit more knowledge, worth a listen. And that's about it for now. Time for the main event. And I hope you enjoy this one, and we'll see you on the other side.
Good morning. How are we doing?
I'm okay, thanks, mate. You?
Yeah, all good, all good.
Well, man. Right, you just put me on a hot, I'm eating a carrot, and you can hear crunch, crunch, crunch.
I can see as well, yeah, that's cool. So how's things going with you?
Yeah, okay, mate, okay. Can't complain. Living the dream at the moment. I finished my previous job on Friday, and I'm starting a new one on the 1st, so I've got a few days off before I start the new job. So
what is it you do, Matt?
Which is nice. I was working as a healthy lifestyle specialist, which is technically a personal trainer, but slightly different in that the role specifically was a healthy lifestyle specialist, so supporting people with long-term health conditions like obesity, diabetes, musculoskeletal problems, and high blood pressure, and running programs to support them to kind of get back to kind of normal life as such. So it's not sort of conventional personal training, as you like, and it's it's very rewarding stuff, but I'm actually going into back into facilities management, because sadly the health and wellness and fitness industry doesn't pay enough to meet the current demands on the cost of living, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's only going up and up and up as well, isn't it? That's the problem.
Yeah, I don't know what part of the world you're in, but we're probably about 40 minutes from London, and things are a bit wild here. But when you think you're doing all right, you don't have to go to Tesco's or anywhere, and just things are ridiculous. So yeah, it's tough to make ends meet, And I actually used to work in the music industry, but it's one of them, the kind of fitness industry, it's one of them trades where sadly it doesn't seem to pay, despite it being a multi-billion pound industry, it doesn't pay incredibly well, much like there's a lot of people in the music and entertainment industry. I used to work in theatre and stuff, and it's a bit like that. It's it's just not consistent. You've got some people on making pretty good money, and others really struggling because of their love and their passion for doing what they do. But maybe I'll, at some stage I should have just been an electrician, hated my job, but raked it in.
Well, yeah, but there's more to life than I know
there is.
In there. I mean, it's nice if you can get a happy balance, isn't it? Really.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they say love the job you do, you never work a day in your life. It's just
that's true, isn't it? Yeah, that's so true.
It's not always that easy to find that that kind of that job, right?
Anyway, good luck.
How did your wife do with a race?
She did all right, actually. She qualified, so that was good. She was really happy about that. It was a bit of a strange course, because I wasn't aware of it, but they had the Xterra event, the off-road triathlon, the day before. You can imagine that the sort of environment that it was in. The transition was down by the lake, and they had a 500 meter run up on grass to get to the road. So it was just, but she enjoyed it. She said it was the best one she's ever done. So yeah. So it was good. It was a nice weekend.
That's what it's all about, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
That's my, always been my, I like the hat, by the way, I've just clocked that.
Yeah, cheers.
Always been my mantra, you know, like, you know, let's, I mean, being kind of brutal, it's a hobby, and, you know, it, like, my most important thing is it should be fun. And one of my things is, if you're not smiling, you're not doing it right. So, you know, all right, we all have days where you, days at the office where you don't enjoy it, you don't enjoy a race, an event, whatever, but, you know, it should ultimately be, you know, enjoyable. That's why we do it, right? Yeah.
100%. Yeah. If you're not enjoying it, what are you doing it for?
To be fair, I relay that to all my clients. You know, if you're, you know, if you don't enjoy running, you don't enjoy swimming, find something you do enjoy that gives you that real, we can get onto that, but gives you that real bang for buck of endorphins, you know.
Yeah. I guess it goes back to the work thing, isn't it? If you find something like from an exercise point of view that you like doing, it doesn't feel like exercise. It's just something that you enjoy doing.
Then just repeat.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so bit of my kind of history. I'm 47, going on 48 now, so I'm an 80s slash 90s kid. Left school in 1991. Was never really kind of actively involved in sports. Was more interested in playing the field, so to speak. And I wasn't kind of incredibly active back then, but thinking about it, I always had just masses of excess energy. And thinking about it, if I'd have probably, you know, gone into sports from that age, my brother always said, "Oh, you could have been a contender." But yeah, I mean, I didn't really kind of channel and find that outlet and that output that I kind of needed back then. So I had bundles of excess energy, but just never kind of channeled it into kind of activity. I did pick up skateboarding. I was just wild and mad for skateboarding. Just skateboarded literally everywhere. You know, as kids, we used to go all over the place skating. So I guess that was my thing, but never really kind of made anything of it competitively. Maybe I just liked the lifestyle more than anything, the wild lifestyle. But yeah, kind of fast forward in my 20s. I grew up in the, I was in my early 20s around the kind of the 90s and the rave scene. So my lifestyle then was completely contrasted to what it is now. Incredibly unhealthy and great memories, but incredibly unhealthy. But yeah, probably around sort of mid to late 20s, I really started kind of the penny dropped, and I thought, you know, I need to kind of crack on now. I kind of really got found a love for running. Started running quite a lot, got you know, did a few kind of, you know, just sort of fun runs, and then started competing in half marathons and stuff like that, and just really got the love for it, and just never really did it for a kind of a competitive focus. Just really enjoyed, you know, the active. Was never kind of into gym or anything like that. I just loved to run. And then fast forward, probably when I was about 30, one of my mates said, "Oh, you want a classic?" He said, "Oh, come out and join us. Get a bike and come out of us." He goes, "You'll only need to spend," we all know how it starts, "you only need to spend 500 quid on a bike." So to be fair, I bought a bike for about 500 quid, and Lord knows how much I've spent now, but we all know that, how it kind of racks up. But yeah, so I kind of got into cycling, and it just kind of snowballed from there. I really, really, really gelled with it. I just absolutely sort of loved everything about it, and then got a new bike, a new bike, a new bike, a new bike. Or one bike was like the Trigger's broom of bikes, and I upgraded it. And then I started doing a bit of bike racing. You know, a few crit races, a few time trials, things like that. And I was thinking about it now. It was like I saw like a local triathlon advertised, and I thought, I used to swim like for the swim school as a kid, but never sort of competitively anything. And I thought, oh, I'll have a go for a laugh. And it was that we lived in Berkhamsted at the time, and it was at, I don't know if anyone's heard, it was a fairly local one. It's an RAF base called, run by the RAF, RAF Fulton. So it was a pool-based swim, I think a 30-meter pool-based swim. and then yeah, just it kind of looped around the RAF camp, and I had no idea what I was doing, no clue what gear you needed, anything like that. I rocked up and all I didn't have a tri-suit, so I just had my speedos. And I remember they're doing the briefing on the side of the pool, and I'm stood there just in my speedos, and it was like the RAF sergeant who's doing the like race briefing, and he turned to me, he said, "Are you doing it in that?" And I just sort of hadn't even clocked. I looked around at everyone else in their, like, you know, in all their gear, and I went, "Well, this is what I've got." And obviously come out of the pool, went to the run. I was like, okay, well, I can't really run just like this. I'll put on my cycling top. I just had the long sleeve giant cycling top and done the bike leg in that and the run. And yeah, and I remember coming in and obviously I think I came in and I didn't understand like age groups or the fact that you've come in, started in waves and things like that. I come in and I asked them for my time, and I thought I'd run the whole race. Obviously, I didn't understand any of it. I remember looking at the thing and I was like, "Oh God!" I thought, I didn't see anyone else around. I'm telling my wife, I said, "Oh, I've bloody won it." And anyway, long story short, I actually didn't do that badly for the time. I probably got the stats somewhere, but yeah, I mean, I just loved it. Obviously, I absolutely hated the swim because it was like a washing machine in the swimming pool, and I wasn't that strong. But on the bike, I absolutely tore it up, and I just loved the fact that, yeah, I just loved it. And I was on an old giant Defy. I wasn't on a time trial bike, and to be fair, this small local one back then, not many people really were. There was the odd guy. And then from there, I just kind of done a couple of other local races, and I'd seen some stuff of friends doing stuff online, and I saw a duathlon pop up, and I thought, oh, I'll have a go at that. It's around sort of 2014, I think. Did it, and I just loved it. I absolutely loved it, because I was like, okay, so I don't have to swim because I'm not very strong in the pool. And, and then I thought, I get to, and it was a closed road one. I can't even think where it was. I think it was in Bedford Autodrome.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And, I love it. I'm riding on a racing track as well. This is like dreamy stuff. And obviously it was so fast and so exhilarating, so much fun. And at that time I was doing a sprint distance. So, you know, finishing with the 2.5K run didn't seem too bad. And again, like I said, I'm strong on the bike, so I was getting dropped by people on the run, but then catching them up on the bike leg. And then, yeah, I did a couple, and someone said, "Oh, look, there's this, you can qualify." And I'd seen some stuff, like I said, friends sharing stuff, and I was like, wow, they race for Great Britain. And someone said, "Oh, there's a qualifying race," you know, and it all seemed like really mystical of what you had to do.
Yeah, yeah.
Registering tents to qualify and all that. I was like, so yeah, anyway, so I went and done it. And I think I managed to, just by the skin of my teeth, I qualified for 2016 Worlds and right. Aviles. And went out to that, and it was just, yeah, my it was just like an amazing experience. You know, obviously anyone that's done it, it's just so everything from start to finish, to traveling out in the in the tracksuit, to to being in the team hotel, you know, it just felt like, you know, being, and obviously we got to watch, you know, as you do, you watch the elites the day before, but just the whole process. And then my dad and my brother came out to watch me, my wife had come with me, and it was just an amazing experience, and I was just sort of hooked on it from there. And obviously also you get to see a part of the world that, you know, my wife loved it, that we'd probably never have gone to in a million years on a holiday, like.
Yeah.
I did the sprint distance. And I mean, to be fair, it was a draft legal, I'm sure, yeah, it was draft legal. So he's on road bikes. And yeah, you know, and I'm quite, I've always been quite an aggressive rider. I'm thinking, even in a draft legal race, I would tear my own legs off. Even in the, when I used to do crit racing, I would tear my own legs off than let someone else hang on my wheel and get an advantage off of me. It's just my, you know, my racing style. Arguably, pretty, maybe not the most smartest racing technique, because you can draft off someone, conserve your energy, and have an easier second run. But I would always just, I think, just eyeballs out, just give it all. And yeah, and that was a pretty strong strong bike leg. And I think some of the guys that competed in the 2016 Worlds, I was in the 40 to 44 category. They've said to me afterwards, yeah, you know, you're like, you absolutely buried it there. I died on the 2.5K run, but yeah, I mean, I did quite well. But like I said, it was, I mean, when I say quite well, well, you know, yeah, I absolutely loved it. And then from there, I kind of, you know, really got the bug and went and did the Euros in Serbia in 2017. But when I thought, do you know what, I felt kind of like the bike, the 40K bike of the standard would really lend to my style, and I could really get that advantage that I was losing, not being, you know, I'm not the weakest runner, but a lot of the guys that I know who do duathlon seem to come from a running background, because obviously there's two runs, it lends itself. Yeah. And they were, yeah, you know, they were a lot stronger than me. And I in my training, I knew I put more kind of time into the cycling because it's what I really enjoyed. So yeah, I switched up to the standard in Soria, yeah. And yeah, it went well. I went on to try and look for, obviously I haven't raced since sort of since that year, so I went on to try and find my results, but I'll find them somewhere, maybe I'll drop them in the comments. But yeah, so I did the standard there, and then the year after, I think it was 2018, I did the Euros in Ibiza as well, and that was just an incredible event. And that was my last race, annoyingly, because I got married that year. No, I think that was 2017 as well. But I got married that year, and you know, and moved house and stuff, so I wasn't able to compete for one reason or another. And then obviously the pandemic happened, and I haven't raced competitively since then. But I've been watching your things, and obviously I'm one of the well, I set up the unofficial age group Facebook page after the Aviles page closed down, and just but yeah, I've been watching the stuff. I'm thinking, oh, you know, I really kind of miss it. I'd love to get back to racing, and but I think I'm probably gonna wait until I hop up to the, maybe even wait till I hop up to the 50 to 54 category. I don't know, but if I can qualify again, I'd love it.
Yeah, the thing is, there's no easy age group now. I'm 55 to 59, and it's just so competitive, and the guys are just so quick. Yeah. You know, it's just there's. My first race was actually in Soria. I was doing this sprint duathlon, and it just seems year on year as you try and qualify, you think people drop off and stuff, but it just doesn't happen. They just get quicker and quicker, and it gets harder and harder to qualify. But that's the good nature about it. It's competitive. What you want.
So I said at the start, it's got to be fun and enjoyable and pleasurable, but you know, it's a competitive event. Like obviously I've been involved in amateur boxing and stuff in my community for a long time, and you know, the saying there is, it's not tiddlywinks, you know, so it's you know, we're all friendly at the start line, but you know, don't think for one second if it's a draft legal race I'm not going to try and tear your legs off.
Absolutely.
Just, you know, if it gives me 5 seconds, 10 seconds, it's such a fun thing to do. I mean, you know, obviously the downside is the international racing. It comes with a, you know, a pretty hefty price tag. But you know, I've been fortunate enough when I've done it that I've managed to tie it into sort of a family holiday, and you know, and get them on board. When I went to the Euros in Ibiza, my wife and my daughter came with me, and my mother-in-law and my niece, they came with, and we all stayed. And my parents, who are, you know, obviously they're, you know, in advanced in age, but my parents came out with my auntie and uncle, and unbeknown to me, they all had these big banners at the finish line. And yeah, it was just such a magical experience. I remember running through on the last run leg and seeing them, and I was just sort of like quite an emotional guy. But yeah, literally like brought a tear to my eye running past. My uncle's had no eyesight for about the last kind of 30, 40 years, and it just felt so magical. And I remember when I finished the event, I asked the team manager, I said, look, you know, my uncle's there, come to watch me. And he's you know, he lost his eyesight a long time ago. Is there any chance you could see if you can scrounge a spare medal? So they got me a medal, and one of the finish medals, and I gave it to him, which was, yeah, really, really nice. Probably for me was the most important thing. It's like, you know, the pre-race carnival feel, you know, they do the, I don't know if they still do the pasta party and things like that. And so it's just a real kind of, you know, a nice community feel to it as well. And I love that. I'm a real people's person. You know, I like doing the group rides and the course recces and all that. And yeah, it's just such a lovely thing. Even though it's like a solo sport, it just feels like you're, you know, I guess you are a team when you go, you know, go overseas. But it's not like, for example, anyone that's done the cross country championships with your running club. It's not like every person's points score towards the, you know, towards the kind of team numbers, if you like. But it does feel that way. You know, there's that real camaraderie that's hard to buy, isn't it?
Yeah. I think I've said this before on the podcast. There's no other sport, I think, for our, you know, our amateur level that gives you that experience. Not only just racing for your country, and as you've just said, but also being able to race on the same courses as the elite, you know, and watching the elite as well. It's just for that experience alone. And I like the fact that you, like me, you try and tie it in with a holiday, because that's what we did as well. And also going to different places that you would never go to, you know, like we went to Romania a few years back. We would never have gone to Romania. So, you know, as well as the racing and stuff, it has all these other advantages that you can take out of it. And yes, you're right, it is expensive, but, you know, it's what we do with our money, I suppose, isn't it? Other people go down the pub every weekend or whatever, and, you know, each to their own sort of thing.
So, do you know what? I've always used the analogy. I'm one of them all the gear, no idea kind of guys. If I was into fishing, I'd have all the carbon fiber rods and, you know, all the bite alarms with apps and God knows what else. I mean, you know, and I like the fact that, you know, that things haven't really sort of, you know, all right, things are, bike technology have evolved a little bit, but generally it's just about, you know, sort of, just rudimentary mano a mano, you know.
The bike, the kit will only take you so far. You've still got to put the work in no matter what.
I really like that. You know, you can probably buy a few extra watts, but generally it's you know, and I loved it. Like I said, when I went out to Ibiza, I still had I bought a secondhand old Fuji bike of a friend of mine. And, you know, I stripped it all down, sprayed it, had it sprayed back black by a mate of mine who runs it. To be fair, it looked a great looking bike, but it was a, you know, 10 or 12 year old bike. But in a race, I've had a few sort of, you know, battles with people in races, but I don't think that many people have come past me. But it just shows, you know, if you're strongest, you know, like you said, the gear can only get you so far. You need to, but sadly, my running always let me down. I remember, like I said, I wasn't one for the triathlons, but I was telling a mate of mine the other day, I remember I thought, oh, maybe I'll try the open water, because, you know, you can wear a wear a wetsuit and so on. So I went to HSV Triathlon, which is in Stanmore, well, in Garden City.
Mm-hmm.
It was my first open water swimming. I'd not even done any open water swimming. My first open water triathlon. And I turned up and I thought, I knew the lake well because my granddad used to live over there. But we got in the lake and the guy's doing the briefing. And I'm looking, thinking, Jesus Christ, this lake is massive. I'm not sure I can swim around it. Because, you know, I know I wasn't strong enough to swim. And the guy's doing the briefing. We're obviously all in the water ready to start. And he goes, right, so it's two times around this lake. And I remember just thinking, should I get out now and just slip away? But yeah, I think I was nearly dog last coming out of the water. But again, obviously, I got on my bike and, you know, and was sort of picking people up on the field. It was interesting memories. And after that, to be fair, I tried quite hard to get into the sort of open water swimming. I do enjoy it, but like I said, I've always been heavy on the kind of cycling component because it's just what I enjoy. So duathlon just kind of worked for me, you know.
Yeah. I mean, swimming's just such a technical thing, isn't it? If you haven't learned it, you know, when you were like 3, 4, 5, 6 and being swimming clubs and stuff, then, you know, you're up against people like that have, and it's just no matter how much you can, it'll get you so far, but if your technique's not there and it's just ingrained, then
and
you're always up against it. You just can't.
What I found was just the amount of time I had to commit to getting a little bit faster in the swim, you know, because I had so much to correct versus, you know, putting that time into other things just seemed.
Yeah.
And like I said, you know, I do some freelance personal training, and my personal training arm is called Maximum Endorphins.
Mm-hmm.
Just so happens it's because I had an old logo. My name's Matt Earls and my initials are ME, so I had a logo. I'm thinking, well, what can I think that does ME? But I really do believe in like I said, if you're not smiling, you're not doing it right. So it should be that, you know, whatever exercise you do, you should get the maximum endorphins, the maximum feel good back before it. So I really do, you know, it's not just a gimmick for my personal training. I really do believe it, that if you don't enjoy something, I've got no idea. You know, I have clients that say, oh, I hate running, I'm sort of, don't do it. You know, find a mode, you know, there's enough modes of physical activity that we can find something that we enjoy. So, you know, do it, you know, like, so I really believe that. And, you know, when I see people post and say, oh, I had this, I hated it, the worst thing is, you know, don't do it. I talked to one of my colleagues and he said, I run a marathon. He literally said, it's the worst day of my life. It took me 6 hours. And I was like, will you be doing that again? He said, no. And I said, you know, fair play to you. Fair play for doing it. But I really believe
it's one of those that you want to tick off the list, I suppose, and never do again. And that's it. Isn't it?
Yeah.
My wife did the three peaks over in the lakes this weekend for charity, part of the work. And, you know, she just said she's in bits now. Her legs are in bits. She's the blisters, you know, everything else. And she said, that's it. I've done it. Did it for a cause, but I'll never do it again. You know, and it's one of those. It's tick it off the list and move on. And from a consistency point of view, find something that you do enjoy doing and it's not a chore.
I do have a sort of love-hate relationship with running. I've said I'll never do a marathon unless it's part of an Ironman. And I've never, but that means that also that I have to do two things I'm not overly keen on. I have to swim 2.4 miles. But ironically, you know, things like Three Peaks, I love running uphill. I love cross country. And I've always done quite well kind of, you know, running up an incline. And cycling up the incline, I suspect it comes through from cycling, but I don't think I'll be running the marathon anytime soon personally.
So what since your last foray into age group, what have you been doing then, Matt?
Like I said, I kind of got married and relocated, so I moved I live over in Bedfordshire now, which is where I'm from originally. I lived over in Luton for a long time, moved to Hertfordshire and then got married and moved back. And I kind of, like a lot of people in my life, I had a bit of a kind of rough time. I suffered with quite severe, I lost my job and stuff and had a real rough time and suffered quite badly with anxiety. And like really, really badly, like, you know, to the point where it was, suicidal thoughts and stuff. So it was pretty, pretty bad. And I remember going to the doctors and saying, you know, something's not right. You know, I just feel like I need to talk to someone independent. And obviously they do, you know, they do like give you a kind of a GAD score. They do a test. They said, you know, well, the GP actually said there and then said, look, you know, we can give you a prescription for antidepressants. That's pretty much all we can do. So I said, look, I don't want them, but I'll take the prescription. And if I feel like I need them, then I'll get it. But I knew they weren't for me. But they, at the time, we said, well, we get someone to get in touch and they do like an assessment, which is a mental health assessment. And essentially, you know, if you grade a certain score, aka you're suicidal, then you'll, you know, you won't get rapid support, but the type of support you'll get were different. Obviously, my, you know, that time I wasn't suicidal or didn't feel suicidal. So obviously I scored fairly low and they just gave me some thing to do on my laptop, which actually took months to come through. But anyway, I went away and then realised that my therapy was, you know, because I hadn't been doing so much competition or racing or anything. I realised my therapy was my kind of physical activity. And, you know, that's where I came up with a concept. I thought, you know what, I'm going to convert my garage. And, you know, I'd always been training in my garage. I'm going to convert my garage into a gym and do my personal training qualification. I went away and done my personal training qualifications and I was thinking of the name, and obviously that's where maximum endorphins come from. And I sort of really realised that you can't really argue with the science. We all know, they call it the runner's high, you know, the feel-good factor, that when you do physical activity, your body, you know, endorphins are dopamine, you know, so, and there's no denying that you feel great. So I was like, well, you know, that works for me. So there's no question it works for everyone else. So that's where that kind of came from. So obviously then I kind of, you know, ramped up my physical activity as my own kind of therapy, if you like, rehab. And sadly in the past, so that was around about 3 years ago. And then sort of just around the pandemic, early pandemic, I've been involved in amateur boxing for a long time. I've was chairman of a local community boxing club for over 10 years and been involved in amateur boxing and professional boxing in Luton and surrounding area. And a lad from the gym sadly took his own life. And I just said to the lads in the gym, I said, we really feel like we need to do, you know, something. I don't know what, just something, you know, because no one had an idea really. And then about 2 years later, another lad from the gym, he took his own life. And I was like, right, okay, so you know, we need to do, like now, you know, I've sat on it for long enough, need to do something. And then literally within a few weeks, another lad that I used to knock around with, he took his own life as well. And I came up with the concept of this brand behind, which is called Tough to Talk, and it's basically it's formulated now, it's a men's mental health community interest company. And it's kind of a play on words, because we all know it is tough to talk for us blokes. And but obviously the content is particularly those tough guys that society would assume can either hold in their issues or wouldn't ever have mental health issues. So primarily people that I know from within the boxing community and stuff, and obviously it's going to grow and develop to other walks of life. But I wanted to use, when, like I said, when I was, you know, suffering with anxiety, I didn't feel like there was anyone out there that kind of I could relate to. There's lots of stuff, you know, it's okay not to be okay, kind of, you know, hashtags occasionally, but there didn't seem like there was anyone that I could talk to that really kind of got it. And so it's all Tough to Talk, and we've got the slogan of don't bottle it. So, you know, bottle it means to, you know, to keep it in, but bottle it also means to be scared, to kind of scared to do things. So it's a bit of a, I'm really happy with how it's going. It's just, I want to say, it's just something that I feel deeply passionate about. Feel a lot of kind of a call to arms to do something. And, you know, the problem is real. You know, there's sort of that last, in 2019, I think there were 6,000 suicides in the UK, and 75% of them were men. So, and the main mean age group is sort of 45 to 49. So, yeah, I mean, it's my age group as well. So it really kind of, you know, struck a chord with me. And so I'm, ironically, tomorrow or the next day, I'm going into John Lewis to speak to all their staff on, obviously last week was Men's Mental Health Week. And I'm sort of just in my, what free time I have, taking it on the road to kind of just try and get awareness out there, especially the young people as well, that, you know, that, so the concept really is, you know, I can send you a trailer, but as if the, you know, if someone that they look on and think this geezer's a, you know, he's a bit tasty, he's a tough guy, he's a bit of a role model in the community, he's well known because he's a boxer or, you know, or whatever, that if he can speak openly about his well-being, his state of mind, then, you know, there's no reason why I can't. So, you know, there's just that stigma with guys that you have to bottle it up and, you know, shouldn't be talking about your mental health, really. But so yeah, that's
and have
it.
You had much uptake, Matty?
So just to be clear, obviously I'm not, I am a, my qualification is a level 3 exercise referral. So it's also about using physical activity to support people with general anxiety disorders and mental health conditions. And I'm a mental health first aider, but at the moment it's just a signposting service. So like I said, of all these, statistically only 36% of referrals to NHS talking therapies are men. And, you know, that's those that actually seek help. So it's just an advocacy and signposting service. So, you know, just to encourage people to talk and speak and engage. So yeah, the engagement on social media has been incredible, and I've had some, you know, great people. So we're not offering sort of not offering one-to-one kind of talking therapies to people, just getting them to reach out. So the aim was in where I am from, I'm from Luton. It's a small, fairly small town, and it's always had a big boxing heritage. So there's, you know, there's been kind of a few, and two of the guys from my gym went on to be professional English champions. So one was English super lightweight champion, one was English middleweight champion. And obviously one of my good friends was a champion. There's another guy from Billy Schwer who was a world champion. So
yeah, I've heard of Billy Schwer. I've watched him. Yeah. I've watched him.
So I'll send you the video. Billy's always great. He gets behind projects, and he works for he volunteers for the Samaritans as well. So he's done some a video for me. But so the point is, these guys, when I was out there, I thought, I have a clue who to talk to. And to be honest, me going and talking to, you know, some random counsellor, it just didn't really feel, you know, the right platform for me. And some people, especially from within that kind of sort of, you know, boxing community and fraternity, and, you know, young people nowadays, they don't really sort of want to engage. They wouldn't necessarily ring up their GP and say, oh, you know, can I go and sit with their GP and talk about their mental health? So it's, the point is to really try and anchor into the kind of social media to get people to engage in these, you know, obviously some of these individuals have got really good following. So it's about trying to hook into that and get, just basically make people aware that it's okay to have these feelings, okay to talk about them, and to try and get them to, so that might be they come to me and say, you know, who do I talk to? Where do I talk to? You know, or just let them get to go, okay, right, it is all right to talk to anyone, to me, mate, to me, because, you know, there's no question that, you know, talking, whether that's just to someone or to, you know, to a professional, absolutely helps. So that is the aim, really, just to try and build awareness that talking is absolutely, absolutely vital. So, yeah, we can signpost them to services, but ultimately it's just to get that message out there, just to talk more, and that it is okay to talk more about your, you know, feelings.
Cool. Yeah. Good. Good. Yeah. I mean, obviously I follow you on social media and I've seen it, and I look and watch all the Instagram posts and stuff. And I'll put up in the show notes, you know, the address to that. And
yeah, brilliant. Thank
yeah,
you.
As it is, it's a much needed thing.
And thing is, I've obviously commented on, you know, how much I've always loved cycling, but for me, you know, I could sit in a room and, you know, have all kinds of, you know, I'm an overthinker, a lot of us are, but when I get out on the bike, it sounds corny, but I just literally feel free. And it's ironic, I could go out and ride for, I mean, I don't do so much long rides now, but I could go out and ride for 4 or 5 hours and just feel invigorated, just completely free in my thoughts and my mind. So there is some real, you know, there's some real synergy. I mean, I'm never trying to score personal training clients off the back of it, but there is real synergy between, you know, the endorphins that you get from doing exercise, and, you know, and every you know, report there is will tell you that the impact of mental health is, you know, substantially reduced by being physically active and getting in the outdoors and promoting the 5 ways to well-being. And, you know, there's
cool.
It's just endless.
Well, good luck with it all. You know, like I say, worthy course and cause, and keep it up. And like I say, I'll link it to the show notes, and hopefully people will look you up. And if they don't need it, they might know somebody who does. So it'll help.
So if one person gets a message, then it's all good.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. I mean, that's a great story. Got a few quick fire questions just to finish up, as I always put in. Unless you've got anything else that you want to add to what you've said already before we move on.
One thing I would like to plug, I am one of the key organisers of anyone in the kind of southeast. Key organisers of a half marathon. Well, we call it a run fest now. So it's a 5K, 10K and half marathon. It's on the 15th of October, and it's in Luton. So it's a great course. The half marathon is a particularly challenging and undulating course, but it's called the Love Luton Run Fest.
Right. So first question then is, what's your favourite bit of kit?
I'm quite lucky that I've got my gym, my garage converted to a gym. I did that in the pandemic. Most of my friends were converting theirs to bars, and I converted mine to a gym. But I'd say probably my favourite is my Watt bike. I've got a Watt bike Atom. I was one of the early adopters. I've probably had it for about 5 years now. I was very late to Zwift, but yeah, I mean, I just love the convenience of it. You know, you can just go out. I used to use the bike on the turbo and things like that, but yeah, the Watt bike Atom for me is the great bit of kit.
Yeah, I've used them in the gym that I go to. They've got them as well. I've got my own Zwift set up at home, but if we're in there and I want to warm up, I'll use them. And it is, yeah, nice bit of kit. What resources do you use for your training? And I know you're not actively training at the moment for triathlon or duathlon or whatever, but what resources would you have used in the past? And it could be YouTube, it could be videos, could be podcasts, could be books. What
do you know what? One of the, one of the resources I've always used is YouTube. Yeah, there's when I was training for Soria, actually, there's a gym down the road from me, and I don't know if everyone knows this, but that gym was owned by an organisation called Stevenage Leisure, but it's now Everyone Active. But Everyone Active run, and some other gyms will probably run it, called a fans program. So it's free access to national sports person. So anyone that's currently or has competed for GB, basically, if you can prove that to your gym, they should be able to give you free memberships, because it's called the free access to national sports person. So anyway, my local gym gave me a free membership. Because I could, you know, I could prove, obviously I don't need it. But yeah, when I was training for Soria, I went and Googled, and someone had, they'd obviously, because they'd run a Spanish triathlon there before, someone on YouTube had the run course. It was on YouTube, but just on a GoPro. So I used to have it up on the, because for all of us that have done it, especially when you're new, it's so overwhelming. You get all worried and people looking at the elevation graphs and all that stuff. So, you know, I'm a bit, like I said, I'm a big overthinker. So I'll be thinking about every flipping variable. But they had the YouTube, the run course was on YouTube. So I could have it on there. These treadmills were, you know, the state-of-the-art Life Fitness ones with the YouTube on it. So I could watch the run course and actually run it at the same time. I mean, whether it gave me, I think more than anything, just eased my mind and gave me a bit of reassurance. But that, I mean, that was great. I love that. And I've always used, before Zwift, I used to do the, there was a video thing. I can't remember what it's called now. Crikey. But there's a guy as well on YouTube who's done, I think it's called Ride the World YouTube channel. And just in 4K, he's literally done all of the major climbs. He can put them on and obviously ride with him. He's literally mapped out. I'm sure it's called Ride the World, and they're great videos. But yeah, so YouTube was probably mine. We're talking obviously, you know, pre Zwift. I said I was quite late to Zwift, despite having a watt bike. I was very reluctant. I was a bit of a, what do you want? It's a bit weird. Just ride outside.
yeah. And now it's after the pandemic, it's just standard and normal, and everybody does it. Even the pro cyclists do it, you know. So
yeah, well, we know they had Zwift championships in the pandemic, right?
Yeah,
no, you have the Zwift championships anyway, but there was Zwift triathlons, weren't there, during the pandemic?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Cool.
But yeah.
Great. Second question then. What advice would you give to anybody wanting to get into multi-sport and maybe wanting to qualify for age group as well if they're already in it?
Yeah, well, a few really. First would be do it, because as we've spoke about, short of the, you know, the price tag, I don't think you would ever regret it. And the second is, you know, obviously it's just like, if you do it, just absolutely cherish it, you know, and remember. And because it's a really great community, you know, and don't be afraid to ask, you know. It's such a great community. There's such, everyone's so helpful and supportive, and yeah, you know, and my advice for anyone, you know, doing it for the first time is definitely go to the team hotel. Because I remember my first race, I was rebuilding my bike, and my bike had a DI2, so the battery was in the seat post, and obviously I was packing it back together. And as I went, for some reason, as I went to put it in, the cable for the battery dropped down and fell down inside the seat stay, and it was just gone. It's down, I think it was like, obviously, I don't know about you, but when I get there, the first thing I'll do is get my bike out and pack it, because I think it allows me enough time if something goes wrong that you can sort it. And my wife's very cool-headed. She's like, don't panic that, and I'm freaking out. But the mechanics, I mean, fair play to the mechanics, like I said, because in the team hotel, you had a team mechanic, and I hadn't booked a slot, but I went to see them. I was freaking out, and they managed to sort it, and my crisis was about it. But I was in tears, I was in bits, because it was my first international race. I was freaking out anyway. But yeah, so, you know, next bit of advice I'd say, when your first one, stay in the team hotel. And and my final bit of advice is always remember, come the start line, come the thing, everyone is, I always remember this, is everyone is shitting themselves. Doesn't matter. We had a chat, my first one, and he got up and he done the speech, because they got everyone to stand up if you'd done one race, stand up, and he competed something like 7 times, and it was like, wow. And I've always cherished that. I thought, do you know what, he's going to be going through the same nerves, the same emotions as everyone else. All right, he's got a bit more understanding of the course and the protocol and stuff, but yeah, always just remember that everyone's shitting themselves just as much as you are.
Yeah, absolutely, 100%. We had this conversation the other day, and it's like, if you haven't got those nerves at the start line, then there's something wrong with you. You know, it's only showing that you care, and you want it so much. So that's it.
I'm involved in boxing, and there's a local girl from Luton who's just won the Commonwealth title there last week, a girl called Ticey Gallagher. If you're into women's boxing, check her out. But I saw her on her Instagram this morning. She had a photo, and the quote was, "If your dreams don't scare you, they're probably not big enough." So it's quite a, you know,
yeah,
and it's sort of a similar kind of mindset in that, you know, like it's okay and it's perfectly normal to feel anxious and stuff like that. You know, bit of pre-match tension.
And finally, then, shorter and long-term goals.
I mean, long-term goals is to get back to racing, try and get me form back. I'll pan round and you can see up there, that's my TT bike up there. It's
all right, it's
up there on top of the wardrobe to keep it safe. So that's my kind of long-term goal, is to try and get back into racing. Short-term goals, oh crikey, will be to start racing.
Well, that's a great place to land it. Thanks, Matty, for your time today. Much appreciated. People look out for your Tough to Talk, as like I said before, it's really, really beneficial and really worthwhile thing to do. And good luck with what you've got in the future. And back to racing, and I hope to see you on a start line at some point.
But the only race I've got booked in at the moment, there's a local event here called the Flit and Potato Race. So it's a one mile run, but you have to carry a 20 kilo bag of potatoes. And it's literally in the paper bag. And I have to say, I did it last year. I thought I'll enter it just for a laugh. I entered it, and it's the most brutal thing I've ever done. I can't even estimate. I won the veterans prize. I came first veteran. I came third overall. And I think I did it in about 7:07. I think my time was something like that. But the race record is 5:47 for a mile. You know, I can't run 5:47 without the potatoes. but it's 5:47 with 20 kilos of potatoes. So that's the only race I've got booked in. But like I said, it's also,
well, it's a start, isn't it?
Well, I believe, like I said, if you're not smiling, you're not doing it right. And for me, it's about enjoyment. I'll get a few spuds under me belt. Thank you so much for your time, mate. I really appreciate it.
No, it's a pleasure. And if I can help, do anything else to help, just give us a shout.
Thank you very much, mate. Remember, it's tough pleasure. To talk, but it's good to talk.
It is, mate. It is.
No, God bless you. Thank you, brother.
All right, mate. Take care.
Thank you very much.
Have a good rest of the day. It. See you later. Bye-bye. Cheers.
Well, thanks once again, Matt, for agreeing to come on and share your story. Much appreciated. Good luck with all you've got on, especially the Tough to Talk, because that is really much needed, I think, in men's lives. I hope men use it and it's successful. So good luck. Find Matty on Instagram at Tough to Talk, and also his own Instagram page, which is Maximum Endorphins. It's his fitness trainer page. You can head over to his website, which is www.maxend.co.uk, and check him out. So thank you once again, Matt. And that's about it for this episode. So thank you once again for listening. If you would like to get in touch, you can get in touch via our email, which is agegroupmultisportpodcast@gmail.com. You can leave us an email, drop us a line or two. If you want to get in touch to come on the podcast, please do. We're also on Instagram at amp_1967. You can DM us there. And again, if you want to come on the podcast, please just drop us a line. We're also on Facebook at AmpGB. We're on Twitter at Age Group Multisport Podcast. And our website is agegroupmultisportpodcast.buzzsprout.com. All the podcasts from previous episodes are on there. So, yeah, thank you very much for listening. And don't forget, stay safe, keep training, and love the process.